and welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Kate Hallowell.
I'm Kaya McMullen, filling in for the lovely Liz Kelly.
We miss her.
We do.
And this is Amelia Wedemeyer, sorry. And you know what? Today, we are checking in with relationship news. We're doing a little Geely. I'm sure everyone's excited for that. And you know what? We're checking back in on Gwyneth.
We gotta.
She's had such a difficult time, you guys. We have to check in on her.
Leave
really
Gwyneth
struggling alone.
We're
gonna get to it at the end. Before we get into the first category, follow us on Twitter at teatime_33. Follow us on Instagram at teatimepod. And before we get into the show, let's take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
All right, first category, we are checking in with celeb relationship news. Obviously, the big thing this week is Bennifer 2021. Huge news. Amelia and Amanda did an emergency podcast on Jam Session that has all the details about the Montana fling and the emails and all that. So if you want to hear about that, go listen to that. But I just know in my soul that Amelia has more to say. So we're just going to just take it away off the top.
Thank you.
Let's hear about Bennifer.
Well, it's weird because I don't think there has been any updates. And not that I've like noticed, just that, you know, Montana. Oh, they did say like Alex Rodriguez might be jealous because he was like, go Yankees to some random paparazzi. And, you know, Ben Affleck is a noted Red Sox fan.
Yes.
So, you know,
there's been a lot of like investigation of like the little signs that I guess we should have noticed. And I'm having a hard time telling if it's just like hindsight 2020, like, are we seeing the things we want to see? Or
great,
like, what
question.
Are some of the signs? Like that song that J-Lo supposedly
the
sang.
Well,
right.
She sang Sweet Caroline, which is apparently a Boston. I didn't know it was a Boston song. I guess it's a
Me
Boston
either.
Song. And then she sang some other song from her Jenny on the Block album or J-Lo album, the one that has Jenny on the Block on it, and that she never sings because apparently she wrote it for Ben.
Right.
And but then she sang it at this a charity event that he
was
also
at. Oh, the Vax Live concert.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think people are reading too much into it, but
see, that's what I wonder as well. But I mean, I guess, you know, it's happening. I just have a lot of feelings about how she can do better. I think I said this on our last podcast before it was confirmed. Mm-hmm. It's fine and it's entertaining. And I'm sure you guys talked about this, but like, they're just like a very celebrity couple.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that right now. Like, I need that in my life. But in the long run, I just feel like she can do better. I just can't get the back tattoo out of my head.
Literally the last time we were talking about him was because he was like sending that creepy Raya video.
Right.
So it's like, and now you're dating J-Lo.
It doesn't make sense.
God.
But, you know, we can talk more about them when we get to cringe mode and just their general history.
Sounds good.
In other relationship news, I want to talk about these like simultaneous friend coworker pregnancies. I was like, this is a trend. And then I was like, okay, there have been two in the past 6 months that I can think of. So like maybe not a trend, but I just want to talk about it in general because two out of three Little Mix members debuted their pregnancies this past week. Leanne Pinnock and Perry Edwards are both pregnant with their significant others. And they were at the Brits red carpet with Jade and they were showing off their baby bellies, their matching bumps. And she was in the middle, like doing the little like Vanna White poses with the baby bumps. Super cute.
Yeah.
And just like, I have so many questions about the logistics of this. Like, is it planned? I'm sure it is in terms of like, it just seems like a coincidence. Maybe not. Or it seems like
you
more than a coincidence.
They plan to get pregnant at the same time?
Maybe. Well. I mean, if professionally, it would make sense. The Kardashians did it.
That's true.
And also, I just wanted to bring another example. The Pen 15 stars were both pregnant
them.
At the same time earlier this year in January. And what I wanted to discuss is, do we think these people do it on purpose? Do we think it's like a professional move? Like they plan that they're going to have this at the same time, so that especially with Little Mix, like, so then they're both kind of, they can make their comebacks at the same time.
I don't know if it's so much planned, but it does kind of make sense if like, for example, like the Pen 15 girls, like, you know, they have the same like career path,
right?
You know, so mm-hmm. It's like they may simultaneously reach this point in their career where they're right. Like, okay, I think I could like have a kid right now. So it's not so much planned, but they're like, life
right.
path.
They're in the
up.
Same stage at the same time. That makes sense with Little Mix too, is like they both have these significant others. They're both sort of in this sort of transitional time where someone else left the group. They're in this like work-life balance. That's true. That makes sense. With the Kardashians though, we think that was planned, right? The Kardashians plan everything.
Yeah, yeah.
They must. I
they
mean,
had that like triple sister pregnancy a couple years ago.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And I think they also, I mean, I'm not saying that you can't be closer to friends than actual family. But, you know, the Kardashians are so close. And right. I think they enjoy the whole cousin aspect of it. And like, mm-hmm. Oh, my God, our kids are all like look the same. And they all, you know, are the same age. And like, right. blah, 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 blah. And I don't know. It's
there's like
weird,
an extra weirdness to it. You're
exactly.
so right.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Kaya, I know you wanted to shout out.
Oh, right. Yeah. So I was like racking my brain because I feel like this happens a lot. But then like when I started thinking about it, I couldn't like think of anyone. And then I tried to like Google and Google wasn't giving me anything. But I did think of the Bella twins. Got it yes. right for Liz. They both got pregnant like the same time. But they're also sisters. So yeah. sort of counts. But
yeah. That was really cute though, actually. That was a really adorable sequence.
Are the Bella twins, they're identical twins, right?
I think so.
So like technically, I mean, if we're going by genetics, that means like their kids are cousins / like kind of half siblings.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
I should know more about how that works. That's always so weird when like you'll see on BuzzFeed or something when like a pair of identical twins marries a pair of identical twins. And it's like, are their kids going to be identical even though they're cousins? Because it's like the same.
Yes.
Pairs. Mm-hmm. I should know more about this as a triplet, but I just don't. I've chosen not to research this.
Well, I understand.
But it's just always
you live
weird.
It.
Science.
Yeah, she lives it.
Yeah, you're right. Science. That's me. All right, on to the next relationship news.
On
Kaya.
To the next one. Aubrey Plaza is married. She announced this week, surprising, in like an Instagram caption. She's like, oh, love my husband, that she had married Jeff Baena. He is a screenwriter. Mm-hmm. There's not really a lot to say about him outside of that. He's like pretty low key. I think I saw somewhere that he only has like 400 followers on Twitter. So congrats to them.
Very like Aubrey Plaza way of breaking news. Just like saying it in a caption, like not making a big deal of it and then just letting the internet eat itself.
Yeah, pretty much. I saw a lot of people were disappointed, but
It's okay. I've made my peace with it. She was never going to pick me. It's fine. You don't have to subtweet me.
Sorry
on this podcast.
To Elizabeth Olsen and then also Dakota Johnson.
Yes. Mm. All right. Last piece of relationship news. Amelia hit it.
Yes. I just briefly want to talk about Travis and Kourtney, another Kardashian.
They're just everywhere.
They are everywhere. I just am afraid for the eventual breakup. I mean, who knows? I hope they last together forever. But they are, you know, we've gotten the the whole like Instagram stories where they're on each other's TikToks. He gave her some flowers from a bunch of flowers for Mother's Day. There's that video of her sucking his thumb that I've watched like upwards of 20 times.
Why?
It's like I'm in a trance and I'm like, wow. And
sure. Whatever floats your boat, Amelia. We don't kink shame on this podcast.
God. And then he got a tattoo over like his heart or something that said like Courtney in like very fancy script. And then they posted a video and she is tattooing him, I guess, with "I love you" written in her handwriting. So
where is she finding the room on his body to do this?
That's a great question.
It's a great question because he even has tattoos on the top of his head.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would write there because then if you fuck it up, like he's never going to see it. You know?
Oh, that's true.
Right. Yeah, like, okay. I'll do it there. On.
Yeah. My handwriting's really bad. So that's what I'd go with. All right. I guess rooting for them. Amelia, please stop watching that video. You don't have to do that. All right. Next category. Equally chaotic. This is the mishmash category. Not worth the tea. This week in social media. And then just like some miscellaneous stuff that we wanted to talk about at the end. Mm-hmm. Off the top, I'm just going to complain just real quick. Just going to warn you. This is not worth the tea. We've talked a lot on this podcast about the Olivia Rodrigo, Sabrina Carpenter, Joshua Bassett sort of love rhombus, if you will.
Oh, rhombus.
And, it's not a rhombus. It's a triangle. It's like a V. Anyway, Joshua Bassett in an interview this week was talking about, you know, just different celebrities, stuff like that. And Harry Styles came up and he was talking about it. He was like, Harry Styles is great. And he goes, also, he's really hot. And then he goes, I guess this is my coming out video. Kind of just like an offhanded comment, just like talking about Harry Styles. And I didn't think much of it. So, you know, I saw this quote. I was like, I mean, yeah, everyone thinks Harry Styles is hot. Like,
yeah, breaking news.
It's a fact. I don't know what we're debating here. So then I like log on to Twitter later in the day and see that Joshua Bassett is trending worldwide. And I was what goes on? So I click on it just expecting to see, you know, something about Harry Styles, I guess. And all these people are making all these jokes about how Joshua Bassett was like leading on these women when he was gay the whole time. He was like, Olivia's writing songs about him while he's pining for Harry Styles. Just all these, like, in my opinion, pretty poor taste jokes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know, listen, it's Twitter. People are going to get their jokes off. They're going to get the memes off for the fake internet points. And like, that's fine. I think what annoyed me the most was like, nobody outside of Gen Z and who listens to this podcast knows who Joshua Bassett is, right? So this is supposed to be like the teens and the young millennials who are supposed to be like very accepting, very open-minded. They're supposed to understand like the complexities of sexuality. So when this 20-year-old man says that he thinks Harry Styles is hot, like, why are we pretending that he cannot also be in a relationship with either of these girls? It just really bugged me. And luckily there's been sort of like some backlash to the backlash, being like, guys, can we relax, please? He's 20 years old. He's figuring it out. And he's attracted to Harry Styles like everyone else in the world.
Like, who is it, you know?
Right. So it just like, it became a big deal. Shouldn't have been a big deal. He like had to make a statement saying he's figuring things out. I was like, guys, this just was like unforced. And also, I just think like as an apology from the universe to Joshua Bassett, Harry Styles needs to cover a driver's license. It just seems like that is an apology from the world that I would accept. I think it would be a great fit for his voice. And I expect that on my desk tomorrow. So thank you for that.
Speaking of driver's license, I don't know why I've subheaded this underneath that. I thought that like had something to do with the Brits. But Olivia Rodrigo got to meet Taylor Swift at the Brits. And it was cute. I don't know. Happy maybe I'm a sucker, but...
I was super cute. First of all, she looked great at the Brits. She also has a new song coming out tomorrow and a new album at the end of May.
Exciting.
That I'm really excited for. She's like really kind of making it, I think. She like she has like gone past sort of like one time, one hit wonder with driver's license. Deja Vu's been a hit both on the radio and on TikTok. I know. I didn't like it at first and it has really grown
on me. Yeah.
And I'm sure her next one tomorrow is going to be great as well. And she just like, it feels kind of like the not necessarily this big, but like the pre Ariana Grande thing where like she suddenly started showing up at all these huge award shows and it was like this big jump. Like just performing Driver's License at the Brits next to Taylor Swift and next to Harry Styles and like anyone else who Dua Lipa just seems like a big jump. Yeah. So I'm all for it. We're pro Olivia on this podcast.
Yeah, and she's going to be on SNL, I think.
Right. Yes.
Oh, wow. Weekend. Yeah. So
that's good for her. She's doing it. She's doing it.
We're happy for her.
All right, this is a very large leap into another not worth the tea. Demi Lovato has made me miss Quibi, and I will tell you why. Demi Lovato has a show where she is investigating UFOs, and she's doing it on Peacock. And I just think,
sure,
if this show was going to air anywhere, it should have aired on Quibi. It's a match made in
heaven. Oh my
God,
you're
right. Because she... Demi Lovato and friends will investigate recent eyewitness encounters, uncover secret government reports, and conduct tests at known UFO hotspots. According to the release, Lovato is a true believer who hopes to convince her friends, family, and millions of followers that not only, this is the best part, not only are there intelligent beings beyond Earth, but that they are already here. It said that the goal is for Demi to learn enough about extraterrestrial life that she can initiate some close encounters. Listen, of all the unexplained phenomenon, like I guess I believe in aliens the most. The galaxy is a big place, but I just, this is wild to me. Why would you, why?
Yeah, this is like a very, it's a left turn for her, for sure.
It is. It is.
I can't say that I'll be tuning in.
Sure.
It would have been such a great fit on Quibi. And I just am sad that it didn't make it.
I mean, yeah. So are we going to follow her to like Area 50? What is it? 51?
Area 51, yeah.
I would love to watch her break into Area 51.
Oh my God.
I would watch that, actually.
I would tune in for her.
Yeah.
I could totally see her like rocking like, you know, those little tiny sunglasses, like just wearing like the very like extravagant stuff that like you don't need to wear to be traveling to Area 51. Just being like, okay, so where are the aliens?
Let me in and show them to me.
It's just also, I find it funny. I totally agree with you that, you know, it should have been on Quibi because this thing should not be longer than 5 minutes. but I do find it interesting that Peacock has some of the weirdest, dumbest shows, and it's just there. And you know what? maybe they're kind of absorbing all of the great stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
The spiritual successor to Quibi.
Yes,
I like that. We're gonna have Quibi to keep an eye on. I try not to. I try not to remember Quibi. God. I can't believe I brought it up on purpose.
I love that.
Yeah, we're gonna have to keep an eye on Peacock. If this is what they're bringing to the table.
Yeah, this is very solidly our lane.
It's promising. Oh, all right, Amelia, what's next?
Okay, so I think this occurred on last Friday, maybe? Right after we got done recording, always.
Classic.
It truly is.
Every time.
And I think I discovered these pictures when I was scrolling through my Instagram feed, and I think it was Seth Rogen had posted pictures from the set of his new series, Pam and Tommy, for Hulu, about Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee. She was on Baywatch. She was a huge sex symbol in the 90s. He was part of Motley Crue, and they got together and they had a sex tape that kind of, I wouldn't say it was like the first celebrity sex tape, but I think it was kind of one of the first really big celebrity sex tapes, that people actively sought. And it's just going to chronicle their relationship and the sale of the sex tape. Someone stole it. I think Seth Rogen is playing that character. And anyway, most importantly, everyone freaked out for a number of reasons. One, because Seth Rogen shaved his beard and they were like, wow, he looks so different. I was like, yeah, that's what happens when you shave a beard. And then two, I think we were all, I want to say, pleasantly surprised with how Sebastian Stan and more so Lily James have transformed into Tommy and Pam. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that was really what kind of, I don't want to say broke the internet, but broke my Twitter feed. Was the two of them. I think part of it was like Sebastian Stan. First of all, they did like the iconic picture where she's biting his nipple ring, which, like,
iconic.
I mean, you gotta
Never
do
forget.
It.
You do.
You gotta do it.
You do.
And obviously, you know, listen, we love Sebastian Stan on this podcast. The internet at large is just like really thirsty for Sebastian Stan. So that was part of it. He's shirtless. His nipples are pierced. Like, what else are we going to do?
Do you think they're really pierced?
No.
No, I mean, that's definitely fake.
Okay. Guys, remember our nipple piercing investigation with Governor Cuomo?
Oh, my God.
Sorry, that just brought me back when we were talking about fake nipple piercing. Anyway, weird time. I don't think they really are. And then I think the other half of it was that she looks so different. Something about the makeup and the angles that they were photographing her.
Yes.
She looks like an entirely different person, which people were like, do you know how makeup works? Yes, we know how makeup works. She just looks different.
She does. She looks exactly like Pamela.
Yeah.
I think part of it, too, was that, like, people were pretty, like, meh on her casting when it came out.
Exactly.
Like, her?
Guilty.
Really?
Yeah. She's done, I mean, she's British. She's done Downton Abbey. She's done a lot of, like, period dramas, blah, blah, blah. So, I don't think it was the most, like, obvious choice.
Right.
But then when these pictures came out, people were like, okay, I'm in, including all of us.
Yeah. I, like, cannot wait for this series to drop.
Yep. Checks all our boxes, really.
It does. Yeah.
All right. Also in social media, it seems like every week one of these videos goes viral and it's like some sort of disgusting food habit. And it's not like those recipe videos that we used to see. It's like the tabletop nachos or someone making hamburger helper in a toilet or like some sort of like horrific thing where people then are like, oh my God, do people in the Midwest America do this?
Oh, yeah.
Like, why are they doing this? And then everyone's like, no, we don't do this. And then they blow up and they go viral. So it turns out Ryan Broderick for Eater wrote about how a lot of these videos are made by the same person. And it's a Vegas magician named Rick Lax.
What?
And he has like this, I highly recommend the article. I'm not going to do it justice, but he has sort of this network of like entertainers and video people and all these people who make these videos. So they made the tabletop nachos video. Mm. They made the one this week that went viral, which is like spaghetti on a counter. Someone's just like laying. And people take these seriously. People are like, oh my God,
people
like, why
get
would you
so
ever do that?
So mad at these on Twitter.
Stop
taking the bait.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
So all of these are just made basically to go viral and to just like freak people out and make them share them. So my point is, they're not real. No one's eating spaghetti off the counter unless you're a dog. And stop sharing them. Stop freaking out about it because it's working. And we're better than this. We're better than this as a society. Don't make table nachos. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Don't make ice cream.
Oh.
Don't do that. Although, can I make a quick recommendation? Their pesto eggs have gone viral on TikTok. And I've made them like the last 4 days in a row.
Whoa.
They're so good.
Oh my God.
Okay. You put some pesto in a pan. And instead of like whatever oil you would usually fry your eggs in, crack some eggs in them, fry up the eggs in the pesto, put it on avocado toast, bacon, whatever. It's like gone very viral on TikTok. That one's legit. Try the pesto eggs.
Okay.
Try that one.
Okay. Good to know.
All right. Two more categories. I'm really long. Two more small updates.
We're getting there.
Yeah, we are.
Unfortunate Crocs update from last week. We mentioned, I think that was last week, you guys were talking about Justin Bieber sending Victoria Beckham Crocs. And she was like, I'd rather die. And we're like, correct. well, then this week, Nicki Minaj posted a photo of her wearing like pink Crocs with like some charms on them, and the Crocs website crashed. So, you know, not great.
I like am genuinely curious how much they're paying celebrities to wear Crocs and like how much these endorsement deals are worth. How much I don't know. I don't even know where to begin. How much you would have to be Nicki Minaj and be like, pay me this much money to wear Crocs. Unless she really likes them. But I just don't believe that's true.
I almost feel like it's like just hot people being like, look at me, I can wear Crocs and still be hot. Like, look how hot I am that
point.
I can make Crocs work.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
It's horrible. We have to stop. We have to stop them somehow. Victoria Beckham, where are you?
We need you.
We do.
And then wrapping it up, the Ellen show, it's done. It's ending.
Wow.
19 huge. Seasons. This one is going to be the last. So congrats to Tea Time. Congrats to Dakota Johnson.
We did it.
She gave this whole long interview with The Hollywood Reporter that I read like half of. I was like, really? They're spending this much time on it? She said the show is not ending because of the allegations of, you know, like a really terrible workplace situation. But it's always been supposed to end after this next season.
Sure.
She did say that the allegations that it was a really toxic workplace really hurt her, but yet managed to not take any responsibility for it whatsoever.
Right. I saw that she said something about how like my celebrities who came in or like my friends who came in always had a great time or like had a really good experience. I'm like, your celebrity guests on your show are not having the same experience as the intern in cubicle 3, Ellen. Like, I don't know how you would ever make that comparison. Also just killed me that she was like, it's not a challenge anymore.
Ellen. Yeah. Okay. Actually, also one tidbit is that like this last season when it opened with her being like, I'm so sorry, like her I'm sorry episode. That was like the highest rated episode like in a while, but then after that the ratings tanked for the season. So
interesting.
Damn. Well, hopefully they'll give that slot to someone much more deserving.
Ooh, like Kelly Clarkson.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I would love that.
Yeah. I'm all for her show.
Me too.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200 or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
All right. Should we do it, you guys?
It's time.
Yes. It's time for Cringe Mode Gigli. Now, Liz Kelly is out this week. However, it was coincidental that this movie was suggested by the lovely Kaia McMullen. And then Liz left and Kaia had to fill in. And Kaia had to watch this movie, which is really just karmic justice.
I played myself. Kaia, I really did.
You certainly did. You set yourself up because if you had suggested this movie and we had watched it and you had not, that would have been the source of just like a grudge that would have gone for a very long time.
Forever.
Yeah.
So it's for the best that you did have to watch this with us. And I would love to hear a brief summary for those listeners who are fortunate enough to have never seen this movie.
Right. All right. Well, before that, I'll just start off with some stats. This movie got a 6% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 13% audience score. Here are some review highlights from the time. Now we can see why the Jennifer Lopez-Ben Affleck marriage was called off. It was on grounds of unreasonable cruelty to audiences. That was from the Daily Mail.
Wow.
After the Schadenfreudian thrill of watching beautiful people humiliate themselves wears off, it has the same annihilating effect on your will to live.
That was God. Newsweek.
God. So,
harsh but fair.
Harsh but fair. Let's go through the plot. So, Ben Affleck works as some sort of hitman fixer. His name is Larry Gili, which is the terrible movie name. And he is assigned to kidnap the brother of a federal prosecutor who seems to have some sort of mental disability. It's extremely problematic.
Yeah, we'll get into
aged
that.
Very terribly. And then, so he takes him, and then Jennifer Lopez's character, Ricky, shows up because she thinks that he can't get the job done by himself. Hijinks ensue. It has the whole, like, romantic comedy of will they, won't they. She's allegedly a lesbian.
A lot of questions about that that we'll also get into.
They kind of just spend some time with him, and then they end up, like, ride, literally driving off into the sunset together. That's about Al Pacino shows up and kills someone.
That was shocking. Yes.
This movie makes no sense, Kaya. You did a great job.
Thank yeah, you.
Truly. There's very little here to work with. Yeah. We really tried to find some highlights. Mm-hmm. So let's try to dig some highlights out here. Amelia, start us off.
You know, I will say this was kind of a Herculean task, but I really thought Jennifer Lopez's skin was glowing. And I would love to know her routine, because when I say she looked great. I mean, like, her skin was just like I wanted to touch it. It was
that's how I always feel.
You know,
I totally agree. I mean, most of our highlights are J-Lo related. What else is there?
Yeah.
She's really mean to Ben in this movie for mm-hmm. a lot of this movie, which wasn't not fun to watch. She's just like truly really mean to him and just breaks him down for like a good half hour in the first half of the movie. So that was enjoyable to watch, I suppose.
Sure.
Just break his ego. So that was a highlight. And our literally like our last sort of all related highlight is much like The Wedding Planner, which we did on Cringe Mode a while back. Pretty much everything that J-Lo wears in this movie from 2003 is just all the way back in.
It's uncanny.
Every single trend, like, I have seen on TikTok in the past week. She's got the cropped shirts. She's got the cropped tanks. She's got the low-rise jeans. She's got everything.
She's got the mini skirt with high boots. She has the layered necklaces even. That is like huge on TikTok.
Yeah.
That's so
funny. And I don't know whether I should be like concerned about that, but like she looks great in it. The jeans are concerning.
The jeans are really concerning. The first outfit she shows up in is literally like a cinched crop top with like very low rise jeans. And then she's like bending over and you can like see her butt crack. And I'm like, that reminds me of what happens when you wear low rise jeans and try to like offer it. That's why this is such a problem.
We can't let it happen. We just can't.
No,
that's true. That
yeah,
is true.
Amelia, what else from her clothing did you enjoy?
Okay, so like, I don't know how to, so there's a scene in the film.
I hate this scene
and
so
it's
much.
Like, they, even though she's like a lesbian, which I mean, you know, sexuality is on a scale. I get it. But it just felt a little disingenuous to me. And they're sitting on the bed and she randomly is just like, I want you to eat me out. And she goes, it's turkey time. Gobble, gobble. Which I just, I don't know what that means.
I almost had to turn the movie off of this.
Yeah.
It's just very weird, but I will say that I loved her kimono that she was wearing. It was gorgeous.
That
but,
was nice.
Gorgeous kimono. Unfortunately, not the focus of the scene, but I agree.
Oh my God,
Yeah, Kaya, last highlight.
Last highlight. I guess I feel like I have more insight now into why J-Lo and Ben Affleck split in the first place. I could see like wanting to distance yourself from every single part of this movie, including potentially your fiancé. God. As soon as it's over. So,
yeah, totally agree. Yeah, just throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
Be done with that area of your life.
Oh, man.
Let's get into the lowlights. listen, I just had no idea what this movie was about, and I was not prepared for any of it. I did not, I mean, we can get into this more later, but I did not know she was a lesbian. And then I thought like she was like pretending to be a lesbian just so they wouldn't hit on her. And then it was like, no, actually, she's a lesbian, but also like they're sort of in love. And I was like, okay. like her ex-girlfriend shows up and like that's fine, and then like he's really pissed, and like they're just, we're so many, their sex scenes are just awful,
absolutely,
and
terrible.
They're really bad.
The language, the dialogue they use to describe like sex in this movie is the least sexy thing I've ever heard in my life.
I guess that takes us right into my next low light, which is there's this scene where J-Lo is doing yoga, which, first of all, great. Love to watch J-Lo doing yoga. Mm-hmm. I would do it all day if I could. And it's a very long scene, which normally, yes, again, like so I would long. Be fine with. I would love to watch J-Lo do yoga for a long time. However, fucking Larry posted up talking to J-Lo. And this scene, she's like talking about, again, like, I'm a lesbian. I'm not interested in you.
Right.
And then he goes on this whole rant about how like lesbians are at a genetic disadvantage, mm-hmm, because they're trying to make up for the fact that like they can't replace the male anatomy, mm-hmm, in their lives. And then like she starts talking about how like women are actually superior and it's women's bodies that are actually biologically blah, blah, blah. And they go back and forth and back and forth
for literally 10 minutes.
Like, it's so long. It's
really long.
They get very explicit, but like not, again, like just like in the least sexy way possible.
Right.
And it was just absolutely excruciating.
It was terrible. I'm like, who greenlit this? Who like watched this and was like, yep, that's good.
That's good. Let's leave all this in.
Ugh. All of it.
It was so cringy just to listen. Like, what are you, people don't talk like that. It was just like very weird. It was very weird.
So many things wrong with it.
Oh, man.
Amelia, what else is a low light?
I would say, I don't know if you guys noticed this too, but there was like background music.
Yeah.
And half the time it was like weird Seinfeld transition noises. So it was like, and you know, like on one of those keyboards, or it's like, and it was just like, okay, this feels a little out of place. And then the other half was like this like sweeping soundtrack kind of maudlin music, like at the end when they go to the Baywatch set, and then Larry's just like looking at the Brian character and he's just like, oh my God, I'm so happy he's enjoying his life. And it's just like, this is like, just the tone is so strange. I mean, I don't get it. It was just very weird. Very
yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Didn't make sense at all. I don't know what else to say.
A lot of weird choices in this movie.
So many.
Also, I just want to point out that this movie is legitimately boring. Like,
oh my God,
it's just, it was really hard to watch and it doesn't make sense. I don't understand why you would want to make a film, let alone watch a film that no one has interest in.
Yeah. I saw a review that described it as like the worst off-Broadway play, where it's like there are like three locations and it's like four characters and they just talk to each other the whole time and have these monologues that are supposed to be meaningful, but like they're not. Oh. And the tone is really weird. And I was like, yes, that's like the exact vibe. It's like the really cheap, like off-budget play that you had to go to. Where the leads have no chemistry and everything's bad.
It was like one of those movies where you're watching and it's really bad and you're like checking to see how much longer is left. And you're like, God, I really hope the credits are like really long. And that's why there's like 20 minutes left. And like maybe 10 minutes of that is like credits, because this just needs to end.
Yeah. And this is a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
Insane. Which
I don't want in the best of times. Like,
I'm
pissed every time we watch a movie that's 2 hours. Doesn't matter what it is.
This movie of all movie needs to be like a tight 90 minutes.
Absolutely. Agreed. I mean,
other
even,
than not happening. Yeah, it's the
other than
best.
That. But like even at the like the whole Baywatch scene when they're finally there and the guy is like, I'm going to participate in this Baywatch. I mean, that scene went on for years.
Right.
It was
Can
so
we get some
weird.
Edits?
Yeah. Like, oh my God.
That's a good transition to talk about, I think, probably the worst thing about this movie, which is,
oh my God.
Justin Bartha's character, Brian, mm-hmm. he plays a mentally disabled character who mm-hmm. is kidnapped for the purposes of, like, you know, scaring this federal prosecutor into doing whatever they want them to do.
That was never clear what
I was
they,
just
like,
going to say.
It was wildly unclear. And he is by far aged the worst. The
Terrible.
Performance, incredibly offensive.
Yeah.
The plot based around him, extremely offensive. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what else to say other than just like, yikes, times a
hundred. Yep. So out of touch and just, yeah. I mean, I guess it was more okay 17 years ago, obviously. Right. But I mean, it's just like, it's so, just looking back on it with, you know, hindsight and whatnot. And you're just like, yeah. Oh my, how did this ever get made? Oh my, yeah. Justin Bartha, how are you, how do you show your face in public?
Seriously.
It's just... Extremely. Really unfortunate. And then it makes me think too, like, you know, when they had the whole Sia casting controversy for her new movie.
Oh, right.
It's like, you know what? They're still making mistakes like this. And it's just like so offensive.
We've learned so little in 20 years, almost 20 years.
Right.
Yeah, we got to do better. That was awful.
Yeah.
Also, age the worst. I'm sorry, but this did nothing to convince me that J-Lo and Ben Affleck should be together.
Rude.
I mean, I guess technically we should say this relationship aged well, but
apparently
I was hoping to like go into this movie and be like, yes, it's awful, but like they have chemistry, or like, yes, it's awful, but like seeing them kiss did not repulse me as a human being, but like it did. And it just, there's nothing about this movie that made, I feel worse. I feel worse about Bennifer after seeing this.
No, you're right.
And yeah. I was hoping at least like seeing them like young and hot. And, you know, having sex would make me feel better about this, but it didn't. It didn't. It made me feel bad.
They have so little chemistry in this. Like, it's bizarre.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's their fault. I don't know. It's many people's faults. But yeah, Bennifer has aged badly, in my opinion, since this movie.
And something that has aged the best. Jennifer Lopez as a human being has aged incredibly well.
Yeah.
So good for her.
She looks basically the same that she looked here, which is to say incredible.
Good job, J-Lo.
Which takes us to our MVP category. It can only be J-Lo, right? I mean, listen, any movie we're going to watch with J-Lo, it's going to be J-Lo. That's just how we roll here. But there's just nothing else redeemable about this movie. We're going to talk about cameos in a little bit, but... There's very little here, I guess.
I mean, I love their relationship together. I'm one of the only people in this world who thinks that they're meant to be and that this is going to be a lasting union.
I love that for you. I'm happy for you.
I was shocked that no one else agreed with me. I'm serious. I was like kind of offended, but it's fine. But anyway, so I think their relationship has lasted well and that I can only hope that they'll be together forever. So mark my words.
Okay. All right. We will.
Thank you.
J-Lo MVP. I don't know how Ben Affleck has an Oscar and she doesn't. Ooh. She's like a way better actor in this than he is.
Yes, I would agree. Hustlers, we missed our shot.
Oh, God.
All right, let's do the lightning round. I believe Amelia wrote these. Is Ben Affleck actually hot in this movie? Yes or no? Amelia.
No, he looks, and I think he's like normally an attractive guy, but this movie, he's got the whole like Jersey Shore, Mike the Situation thing going on. And have you ever seen the cartoon Johnny Bravo?
Yes.
Yeah. He looks the hair. Like a dark haired Johnny Bravo. And it's just
Pompadour, the Pompadour hair. He's got also like the wardrobe is really tough. He's got
the bowling shirt,
but like the sleeves are a little long. I mean, his cheekbones are in fine form. I did want to note that. I was like, you're looking chiseled, my guy. But also like Larry Geely is the least, just Larry. Ooh, you cannot be attracted to anyone named Larry. I'm sorry. It's science.
They did him really dirty in this movie.
It's just the least sexy name of all time. And his character's terrible. So no, he's not sexy in this movie. Kaya, agree?
Yeah. I mean, you could see like underneath all of the terrible styling, like he has something going on, but it's like not in this movie.
It's working against him. They're working against him. Is this movie as bad as everyone says it is?
Yes.
Yes is across the board. What's the best cameo? There are a couple fun cameos in this movie. Amelia?
I mean, I would say I was shocked when I saw Al Pacino show up in Shoot a Guy for more than one reason. But I also love that. Remember his comment from like a year or so ago where he was like, I love showing up in bad movies to make them better. And, you know, he tried. So, I guess it adds a little prestige. So
Yes. He injected like a little life into this movie, like 60 minutes in. I was like, oh, there's Al Pacino.
Yeah, right.
What more could you want from this movie, you know?
Yeah.
I do appreciate that. Also, Christopher Walken shows up for a little bit and has like this. He just like walks in, does like a 4-minute monologue and leaves and is never seen or referenced again.
Yeah.
He has like this insane line reading about like ice cream and like pie and he's just very weird, and he at least he like really went for it, you know, he like made the most of his screen time, and I'm never like, oh bummer Christopher Walken's here, you know. I'm always like, oh, Christopher Walken. So
yeah,
at least there's that. Kaya, who is your favorite cameo?
I would say Lainey Kazan. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. She plays Ben Affleck's mom. She's also in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And that was like maybe like one of the only enjoyable scenes throughout the movie, in my opinion. Her little like back and forth with J-Lo with like, and I mean, it's aged incredibly poorly, but like that was like semi-enjoyable to watch. So I'm going to have to give it to her.
Great call. All right. Last lightning round question written by Emilio, which really makes a large leap here. Who would you like to see in a Gigli remake circa 2021? So many issues with like to see, but Emilio, go ahead. Who's your pick?
I think we should get Camila Cabello and Shawn Mendes in the remake. I mean, it could be a musical this time.
That is an extremely, extremely cursed idea. I love it.
Thank you.
I really feel like they like would capture like the energy.
Right? Yeah.
Would be terrible.
They do have the right like cursed vibes to make that. I guess if I had to choose, I mean, J-Lo and Ben back together in Montana. They drove off into the sunset together at the end of this movie.
Mm.
I guess they could like try to redeem themselves for this movie. Do like a Gigli, like a 2G Tuli, or
the Gigli
back, like back to the Gigli or something.
Wow.
Gigli Montana Road. I don't know. Anyway, they're in Montana anyway. They're together anyway. Just like make a sequel and try to redeem yourselves for the crimes against cinema that you did in this movie.
Okay. Yeah. And like try to make not the entire plot be like extremely problematic.
Right. I mean, all you have to do is nix that and it's better. So, you know,
This really just came to me in a fit of inspiration. I'd like to see Florence Pugh and Zach Braff remake this.
Whoa. Why would you do that to me? They would too. Zach Braff would. He would be like, I can fix this movie.
Zach Braff's like confident enough that he'd be like, totally. I could make this better.
Yeah. Me and my muse.
He's tweeting at studios. Like, you know how he tweets for like Lorne Michaels? He's like, cast me as a political person.
Right. Yeah. He would do that. If this happens or anything remotely similar to this happens, I'm gonna blame you for manifesting it.
Okay. Not take All right. responsibility.
Let's leave this category in this movie behind us forever. And let's do Tea Time's unanswerable questions to wrap things up. Now, we teased at the top of the pod, we're going to talk about Gwyneth. I just want to lay out what happened here and we can discuss. Guardian US sent a tweet on May 10th that said the following. Gwyneth Paltrow broke down and ate bread during quarantine. What was your lowest point? Now, this tweet has 9,000 replies, 21,000 quote tweets, and only 5,000 likes, which means that people, that's just like an absolutely brutal ratio. People were furious. Gwyneth Paltrow was trending. But if you click on this article and then you click on this article again, when it goes to the actual interview that they didn't do, it was just Gwyneth Paltrow doing an interview about the things she's been up to in quarantine and talking about how she was drinking 2 cocktails every night. She was eating bread and pasta. So it wasn't like someone went up to Gwyneth Paltrow and was like, what was your lowest point during this quarantine? What's the worst thing that happened to you this past year? And she was like, I ate bread. Like it was an unrelated interview that then, which again, I get it. Like we've talked a lot about how fucking annoying her habits are, how disillusioned we are with celebrity during this pandemic when real life has been so awful for so many people. But to me, this was a setup. They purposefully sort of framed this in a way that would enrage people and that would provoke a response. I assume, went above and beyond anything they expected. Yeah. I mean, all of these people took it so seriously and were responding and being like people died, like people tried to overthrow American government, like mm-hmm. American democracy, but like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm sorry, Gwyneth. I'm like, okay. Like, again, I get it. It was horrible for us and Gwyneth Paltrow had it easy, but like, I guess my unanswerable question is, who's to blame here? Is Gwyneth really to blame or was this a setup?
This was a setup. This is like, right? she's a target. Like, everybody knows how out of touch she is. She's like a right. particular right. person where, like, when she says stuff, like, every celebrity is out of touch. But, like, exactly. when she says stuff, people are like, how dare you? Like,
right.
And so, yeah, like, she's just, this was like a drive-by shooting of Gwyneth.
She didn't ask for this. She in no way was related to this question. It was just like this weird prompt that they just like brought her into. And again, like her low point during quarantine probably was eating bread, like probably was drinking quinoa whiskey or whatever the hell she was talking about in this interview. But it felt uncalled for. The response felt really uncalled for. Yeah. And so I guess in honor of Liz Kelly, I just wanted to defend Gwyneth.
Right. Well, yeah, it's like, who do you think, I mean, you're reading this interview. How else do you think this is going to go? Like,
right.
it's what? I don't know. But I will say, she also had a great moment recently because I was looking at comments by celebs and there was, and this is not really related, but I'm just going to pretend it is. And there was like a post from an Instagram account called Crazy Bitch Probs. And it's and it's just like a text prompt that says, if your dick isn't longer than your balls when it's soft, lower your motherfucking voice when you speak to me. And Gwyneth Paltrow.
Okay.
It's very intense. And then Gwyneth Paltrow commented, a brand new success metric! Exclamation point.
Okay. So
just Gwyneth is fine. Update.
She's just living her life. She's fine.
She is, yes. Oh, and then also one more thing I forgot. Not to bring back Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian and how much they're in love, but Travis Barker also posted a picture of a candle to his Instagram stories, and it was a heretic goop candle. Oh, you know, those like, it smells like my vagina. The candle was called This Smells Like Kourtney's Orgasm. So it was like made especially for Travis, I guess. I don't, it's
I almost
whatever.
Brought this up and then I was like, they've gone too far. I saw that this was sent to other people and literally is like a collab between like Goop and Kourtney. However, what happened to Poosh?
That's really rude.
I mean,
you I don't know who would
Poosh
be rude to, but
as a Goop ripoff, has she just given up on Poosh?
And she's, I think so, yeah. Has anybody checked the site recently? Like, has it been like updated?
Yeah, every day, kind of. It's my homepage.
No, but I look at her Instagram stories and she's still posting like, swipe up to learn about my moon milk matcha on Poosh or something.
Interesting. So clearly Gwyneth just like isn't threatened by Poosh and is like, yeah, you can do a collab with us.
I mean, who would be? Yeah.
I wonder if she knows about Poosh. I would love to know.
Oh, she doesn't even know that Sebastian Stan has been in the same movie with her like five times. So she doesn't know.
She's out of touch.
Not at all. Not at all.
You're right. She's just living her life.
Exactly. Which, you know, more power to her.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay, so my unanswerable question. This was a tweet comparison thing that was brought to the forefront by the Food Network on Twitter. They tweeted this May 10th and they asked, okay, so which is the superior sandwich, a PB&J or a grilled cheese? In parentheses, be nice. And there's a picture of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a grilled cheese. And I was thinking, wow, that's a great question. So my question to you all is, grilled cheese or peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
I really like, first of all, how they had to add be nice in front of
it.
It just like goes to show like what a terrible place social media is when you have to add be nice on a question of PB&J or grilled cheese.
Seriously.
It actually is a really difficult question. I saw it immediately and I was like, grilled cheese. But then I thought more about it and I was like, wait, PB&J is like the OG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're both tasty.
Like, if you're like, pick one for dinner tonight, I'm going to go grilled cheese. But like,
it's
if
hardier.
You're on a random Tuesday and you're making your lunch,
PB&J.
You're probably just going to make a PB&J. It's really very difficult, actually.
Well, it's hard, too, because one is savory and one is sweet. So it's are you in a savory mood or are you in a sweet mood?
Yeah.
That's so true.
Amelia, what was your choice?
Well, that, see, I had the, I was like, God, I don't, gun to my head, I don't know. I think maybe, honestly, maybe grilled, but the thing is, what I love about grilled cheese, I'm sorry, is that you can, they can do it like gourmet, and I'm sure you can right. do that with peanut butter and jelly sandwich too, but I just love when they do like the grilled, like the fancy grilled cheese yes. with like, you know, the freaking like breadcrumbs in it, and or they even add some jelly in it, and it's just like
multiple mm-hmm. cheeses.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, I live for that stuff for sure. Yeah. So
I think I would go grilled cheese because I don't eat PB&J that often. Like you think you do, but like, do you really? No, I think I'm gonna go grilled cheese.
And grilled cheese, you just have like so many opportunities to like, you know, change it up and stuff and like expand it.
Yeah. The ceiling. The ceiling the is lower ceiling on is a PB&J.
Yes, definitely. Right. Also, when you have a PB&J, it's like, you know, you need milk there or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas grilled cheese, I think it's more standalone if you want. But then you can add like a tomato soup and it's delicious.
Mm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
So, totally agree. The worst PB&J you've ever had is not that different from the best PB&J you've ever had.
Whereas that's true.
That is a great point.
Grilled
yeah.
cheese versus grilled cheese, it's just you can get such mm-hmm. range, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Finishing us off, if you could have any old celebrity couple get back together like J-Lo and Ben Affleck, who would it be?
Great question.
Oh.
I don't have a good answer, so I'm just going to stand in for Liz and say Miley and Liam.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, they were meant to be.
I do feel like they could still work it out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. They were in love. That's all I got.
I feel like there's unfinished business there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? You're right. And I think there's another couple that has unfinished business. Zac Efron, Vanessa Hudgens? Anyone?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Yes. Wow. I would actually love that.
Inspired. Great. Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That is amazing.
Great pick.
Love them.
Kaya, what about you?
Well, I just had to go for the obvious choice. Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt. You know, I want to see the world set on fire.
That's the only one that would really like get to the same level as Bennifer, I feel
in
terms of people freaking out.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, they exchanged two words on a Zoom call and the internet was on fire for like a week.
Yeah, they like had their hands touch at the Golden Globe.
Yeah.
And melted
down. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, that's a great pick.
Thank you.
Kaya. Great work on this podcast. We love when you
truly. Oh, thank you guys so much for having me. It's really been a joy.
It was so much
this
fun.
Was so fun. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with Liz next week. We will somehow try to make her watch something worse than this, but I don't think it's possible. Thank you to Kaya, our producer and co-host this week. I'm Kate Hallowell.
I'm Kaya McMullen.
And I'm Amelia Lemler.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.